Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Bring in show music, please.
Hi, I'm CNBC producer Katie Kramer. Today on Squawk Pod. Protecting our election security, the danger of deep fakes to voters. Security expert Alex Stamos.
From my perspective, like, the real danger here is around the actual mechanism of the election. The other thing that I'm really worried about is tying that to actual cyber attacks against election infrastructure.
And Intel awarded $8 billion from the federal government in a major CHIPS Act award.
Other countries are spending heavily and investing in this, and if we're not, we get left behind.
You got to be right about it.
Plus, the next government funding deadline, Chipotle splitting investors' burritos, and get happy, Squawk's unofficial chief happiness officer Arthur Brooks on feeling good wherever you are.
What Americans have in common is that happiness has everything to do with family life and adventure. It's not contentedness like you would find in other places.
It's Wednesday, March 20th.
It's International Happiness Day, and I'm happy as a clam.
Squawk Pod begins right now.
Stand Becky by in 3, 2, 1, cue please.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Squawk Box right here on CNBC. We're live from the NASDAQ market site in Times Square. I'm Becky Quick along with Joe Kernan. Andrew is out today. It is International Happiness Day, and how appropriate, because it's also Fed Decision Day. What could be better? What is this, the 18th record high for the year or something like that? We keep racking them up.
I think it's going to say that here.
Oh, yeah. OK. Yesterday, all the major averages finished higher with the S&P 500 posting 18th record close of the year. Treasury yields, those have been higher as the Treasury market, at least, seems to think that rate cuts are a little further off, or at least maybe one fewer for the year. And then check out Bitcoin, which last I saw was around 63,088. So it's been a pretty volatile move for Bitcoin.
I think it was below 60.
Was it?
I think so for a while. Okay, we'll talk about this. Arthur Brooks is going to be on.
Very exciting.
Not Albert Brooks. Arthur Brooks talking about happiness. I'm happy. I'm happy, and I don't believe those Nordic countries are happy. I don't. They're you know, they've...
Happiness is
they're
a state
telling
of
them. I know, but they're telling themselves they're happy. That's coming up. We'll talk about it in a second. They want me to talk about this. Intel's probably happy. Here, have this. Biden administration awarding Intel nearly $20 billion in grants and loans. From the CHIPS Act, the company's going to receive $8.5 billion in grants with $11 billion in loans to build out manufacturing. This is expected to create 30,000 construction and manufacturing jobs with the new facilities in Ohio and Arizona. President Biden will be traveling to Arizona later today.
I was just reading through it. It's $8 billion in grants, $11 billion in loans. Intel is expected, at least the administration says, expected to spend $100 billion of its own money investing in these things over the next 5 years. So $20 billion a year, that's pretty significant infrastructure spend. It's kind of what you see from like an AT&T, Verizon, on an annualized basis.
And if it always worked, and if you'd hire 30,000 people and everything works the way it should, it seems like it's a no-brainer and it should always work. But then you start wondering down the road, what's the return? And when the government picks winners and losers, you don't know. You know, it's taxpayer money. We're going to pay for it. So you're hoping you get the best use of capital that you would have. And a lot of times the government, I mean, is all, you know, when we look back on the EV era, and obviously I guess we're moving to that, but was it too fast? Did we blow money too quickly? When the government tries to do things, usually they're not very good at it.
Although, look, you look at something like the Interstate Highway Program, and there were probably arguments around
VA
that.
VA bill
time.
All
that
the way
really
back.
Great.
Yeah. College bill
spent.
After World War II. Yeah.
But you're right.
Why do
look,
we?
This took almost 2 years.
When we look for something, why are there like three things we can come up with? out of all the out of our $34 trillion deficit, we come up with, we did build some highways.
Look, there have been problems with this already. The idea that this was passed in July of 2022, and it's taken almost 2 years to get the first money doled out. I remember almost a year and a half ago hearing whisperings behind the scenes from, you know, CEOs who were like, where is the money? When is it coming? Okay, it's here. It's taken us a while. I think it's probably very important to have American manufacturing of these things. So I think all in all, it's probably money well spent. But your point is taken that when there are strings that come along with this and when you are choosing winners, there are going to be issues.
For security concerns, we need it here. Yeah. But you can't just always say that or else there'd be nothing called comparative advantage.
Agree.
There's things we don't need to do in this country
issue is that other countries are spending heavily and investing in this. And if we're not, we get left behind. That's when you are dealing with other countries, you're competing.
You got to be right about it. And the government just, you know.
Gina Raimondo has gotten some pretty high marks from people on all sides of the aisle for what's happened with some of this stuff. And she was putting out some of this today, too. So we'll continue to watch it. Chipotle has plans to split up the burrito for investors. Clever. The restaurant chain announcing a 50-for-1 stock split. If it's approved by shareholders, it will be Chipotle's first stock split ever and would begin trading on a post-split basis on June 26. Okay, so it's almost at $3,000. That gets it down to just below $60 if you do a 50-for-1 stock split. That has been pretty phenomenal
growth,
too.
Pretty cool, yeah.
I can't believe, we talk about, you know, it's amazing how you see a twofold increase in some of these tech stocks, up 82% over a year for a burrito company.
Yeah, well, that shouldn't be surprising to anyone if they've tried Mexican food. It's not my favorite place to go. It's too cilantro.
It's a little spicy.
I like the spicy. It's just too, I don't know, it's not Americanized.
Too fresh.
It's too fresh. And they never combine Doritos
Taco
chips
Bell,
with
not.
The, no, it's not. And they I think they got the guy from Taco Bell, but he was been unable so far to replicate the beauty of a Taco Bell, but 50-for-1. That's why you invest. That's why you invest. That's why you invest too. I wonder about McDonald's. Maybe if McDonald's hadn't spun it off, it would not be where it is. But what if they had kept it?
If you'd kept it, yeah.
Would it not have done as well if it had been under the McDonald's umbrella
might
the
not
whole time?
Have. I mean, you need innovation for it. But why didn't they spin it off and keep some of the shares?
Yeah. Unbelievable. Okay, the World Happiness Report is out, and the United States has dropped out of the top 20.
What?
Down 8 spots that hit an all-time low ranking of 23. Finland. Right. Finland remained the world's happiest country. They tango because it's dark the entire year. But I guess because they don't really know any better, it's the country's...
not because they don't know any better.
Oh, yes, it
Maybe
is.
They're very
come
happy.
On. Come on. When you go to Davos, are you happy?
You know what I like?
I know it's Switzerland.
When I go to Switzerland, I love what they have for food there. You walk into a gas station. I can eat food from a gas station there because it's like fresh yogurt.
Look, if you hit your head against the wall and then you finally stop, you think people in Russia, in Siberia are happy because they got vodka?
Are they on the top 23? Probably not.
It's right next to Finland.
But it's not. It's a world away.
I'm kidding. Finland's great. I've never been there. People, I think they're happy because, you know, the small things probably make them happy.
They do.
The simple things in life. The simple things in life. I'm going to get in trouble with people in Finland. It's like Ireland. I love Ireland.
What I will say is Axios has a really great piece out today that talks about how if you look at toddlers, that's how you become happy. And toddlers move about 5 hours a day. They're constantly moving. They're curious. They know how to live in the moment. They ask all kinds of questions.
What's this got to do? They got happy toddlers in Finland?
No,
they're
I'm
freezing.
Just saying it's a state of
they're
mind.
They're freezing and it's dark.
You can find happiness.
Have you watched TV shows from Nordic countries on Netflix?
No.
Those people aren't happy. They are not.
Because you sound so happy right now.
I'm totally happy. I live in the United States.
The United States is the greatest place to live.
It is. And I have, what would I not be happy about? I make a good living. I work 3 hours a day. I got beautiful children, a wonderful wife.
Fabulous
what would
co-workers.
I not be happy? Fabulous co-worker. I guess. It was a seventh straight day. Whoa!
Go back.
No, do not gloss over that. Go back down. Go back down. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Happiest country.
Happy.
Yeah. First. Mr. Happy.
That can be.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. There you go. Mr. Happy.
Poking his head out over here.
Yeah. You know that expression.
Go ahead, read.
Happiest country for a seventh straight year in the annual unsponsored report, followed by
UN-sponsored report.
Followed by a place called DMARC. I don't know where that is. Oh, Denmark. It's missing an N. Iceland. Really? Sweden and Israel. We're going to take a closer look at why Americans are so glum with our own happiness guru, Arthur Brooks. And we know about the angst and misery of the leisure class that prosperity breeds from Schumpeter. Philosophers know this.
Right.
And Arthur will tell us that the dignity of work and being productive and collaboration and everything, once you
Co-workers.
But once you get to a certain, you don't worry about, you know, shelter, food, and then you start getting bored. Like we're seeing with all of our, like the millennial is the classic, leisure class, doesn't know what to do with themselves.
Some of the millennials will argue they're working their butts off. They've got two jobs trying to pay for houses that are
working
more
their butts off trying to get their parents to let them stay, so they can get all their apps.
Our kids are welcome to stay.
I know. I like our kids. I know. I know. We don't want our kids to leave.
Cheese will be next.
Coming up on Squawk Pod, more on the Biden administration's push to boost chip manufacturing in the U.S. The danger to filing your taxes if there's a government shutdown with CNBC's Emily Wilkins.
You always see these congressional lawmakers come up with bills where they're like, oh, we can just have Americans file on a postcard.
And inside the war games testing our election security with Alex Stamos of Sentinel One.
Disinformation showing one of these candidates saying that it's rigged or trying to convince people not to vote combined with an attack that doesn't actually change the outcome, but means that you don't know for a couple of weeks because everything has to be hand voted. I think that could be incredibly disruptive.
We'll be right back.
From pit lane to podium, the Las Vegas Grand Prix is providing fans a race day experience at the speed they deserve. With the help of T-Mobile for Business, our 5G advanced network solutions are powering race day operations with event-wide connectivity. From streamlined gate entry to an immersive app, giving fans blazing fast access to the sport they love. This is accelerating innovation. This is the Las Vegas Grand Prix with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
You're listening to Squawk Pod.
Stand by, Joe. His mic, cue.
Good morning and welcome back to Squawk Box here on CNBC, live from the NASDAQ market site in Times Square. I'm Joe Kernan, along with Becky Quick. I was just thinking about something I'm gonna do.
Brace yourselves.
No. So we're picking Intel, right? Okay,
yeah.
So we're investing in Intel as taxpayers.
Yeah.
Let's do a five-year Intel versus AMD chart. And think of the investors who invested in Intel 5 years ago, and think of the investors who invested in AMD 5 years ago, or NVIDIA.
If you're going to build factories and fabs here in the United States,
how do we pick the winners?
I think we would go along with lots of winners. There's a lot of money in this bill, and it's going to be a lot.
So everybody gets
it.
I'm just saying, in general, you can pick the wrong horse to back, and the government is an expert, probably, at doing things like that. We'll look at a five-year Intel versus AMD, and we'll see whether we're happy that we didn't do it. We did Intel instead of AMD. Lawmakers reaching a deal now on the remaining six spending bills to fund the government, but time is running out to pass them all. CNBC's Emily Wilkins joins us now with the latest. Good morning, Emily.
Good morning, Joe. Yeah, stop me if you heard this one before. We're now 3 days away from a partial government shutdown, and lawmakers still have yet to pass any of the funding bills needed to keep it open. Now, there was a breakthrough. The White House and congressional Republicans did reach an agreement on homeland security spending. That was, of course, always going to be difficult with immigration and the border. It was the final puzzle piece in this larger $1 trillion package to fund the government that includes funding for defense, state departments, financial agencies, as well as health and human services, among others. But the devil's always in the details here, and the details are still being written, as Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer laid out yesterday. Give a listen.
I want to be clear, there's a lot of work to do in the coming days. If both parties proceed in the same manner we did 2 weeks ago, quickly, constructively, and without unnecessary partisan dithering, then I'm hopeful we can finish the appropriations process without causing a lapse in government services.
Once everything is on paper, which could be today, might be tomorrow, it will be a race against time for the House and Senate to pass these bills. Now, while we expect bipartisan support and get them through, the congressional process, as you know, it's designed to move things slowly, which means there's a real chance of a short shutdown going into the weekend. Now, that won't be a huge issue so long as the government is then ready to fully open on Monday. But if a longer shutdown occurs, there could be issues at several agencies, and this includes the IRS having to suspend several of its services at the height of tax filing season. IRS Commissioner Danny Werfel warned reporters earlier this year that a shutdown would increase the risk of a rocky filing season. While key functions of the IRS would continue, others, including audits and most legal work, would need to stop. Joe?
I've learned not to make any jokes about the IRS. So the audits would stop. That's a bad... Every season's rocky, isn't it, for IRS filing season? It is for me, Emily. It just is. It's rocky. It's always rocky, trying to figure everything out. And it always takes an extension.
It's always, yeah. I mean, you always see these congressional lawmakers come up with bills where they're like, oh, we can just have Americans file on a postcard. I always want to see those get more play around
right.
This time of year.
Sure.
That sounds really good to me.
And you know what I really, just as an aside, what I liked about your report, Emily, when you tossed to the soundbite, you said, give a listen. Because what the hell does take a listen even mean? How do you take, if you give a listen, you're saying, let's just listen to this. The other one's not even English. And after, doing this for 30 years, everybody says it. It's like Anchor 101. Take a listen, take a listen, take a listen. I liked it. Give a listen. Thank you, Emily.
Thanks for giving me a listen, Joe. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I gave you. You are welcome. Here quickly, and you're right, Becky. Maybe AMD is more of a, maybe they're not the foundry, anything like that. But my only point is that when the government picks who to invest in, they're picking Intel this time. Okay, that's fine. If you view taxpayer money and money that the government spends, they keep calling it an investment. We invest, blah, blah, blah. We're investing here. They're not just blowing money. They're investing all the time now with the Biden administration. All right, we're investing. So we're investing how much? $20 billion in Intel?
No, it's, well, it's...
Some of it's a loan. No,
$8.5 billion in giving.
Why, because
they're looking to build plants in the United States. It's not going to be just Intel. It heavily favors Intel over AMD and
but
NVIDIA.
You see the point.
But that's because AMD and NVIDIA use outsized companies that are not
outside.
Based in the United
States. They contract out
to companies not based in the United States to build these.
There's
things.
No one else that can do.
This is about trying to secure our supply chain.
But if Intel's the only company that can do it,
independent, which we. Kind of came to this conclusion during the pandemic when we realized we were outsourcing way too much, that we would like to build those factories and fabs here. If you build those factories and fabs here, then yes, you too can apply for the money.
Is Intel the only company that can build foundries?
No, definitely not.
So
you have others.
How do we know that that's the best use of...
There was a spinoff, I believe, the AMD is looking at new plants too, and what did I just see? There is a Global Foundries that was a spinoff from AMD that is, I think, qualified for $1.5 billion that's coming to this because they would build fabs here
You look at that, the government invests money, that's what can happen.
I understand the basic premise, but the idea is if you are trying to build things to shore up our supply chain and make sure that they're built in the United States and
China,
build jobs here.
But it could be somewhere where we, for comparative advantage, It's just the government, I don't think, is the best way to allocate capital.
I agree and I understand. I do think there are times for infrastructure builds. I think this might be one of those times. I am not saying that the government's going to be efficient or effective in this. They're not. It's already taken them since July of 2022 to give out the first money to do this. So they're not. In the meantime, I think there have been other plants that have built other places that have been way fast-tracked for this. It is not an efficient measure for these things. But if you are trying to, I think I'd have a bigger problem as a taxpayer if you were giving out money to companies that then used it to build plants in other countries and create the jobs there. I think I would have a bigger problem with that.
I don't know if I would or not. It depends on what you know, all the dynamics of the labor. It'd be nice to build everything here, but we don't.
If you're doing that, then just don't even spend any taxpayer dollars.
You're not a globalist anymore at all then. We should do everything here.
I do think there is a need for infrastructure here that we are far too reliant on other companies, on other countries.
Maybe some unfriendly country, but you don't want to close down trade.
No. I don't want to close down trade, but if we are going to be
spending, we can't manufacture stuff here.
I'd have a problem giving money to Airbus over Boeing. I want to make sure that we are...
For sneakers or fabrics and things, you don't want to do things that don't make sense to do here.
No, but I think there are, for security purposes, there are reasons for that. Just like Boeing versus Airbus, I think, you know, if they're going to get subsidies, I want them to go to Boeing, not to Airbus.
Well, I bet we better get a good return on this. That's what, and I'm not convinced.
Let's hope.
Among the worries for voters this election season, misinformation and AI-fueled deepfakes. To help prepare for possible election day problems, NBC News reports that tech executives, civil leaders, and former U.S. officials recently participated in a war game-style simulation. But a report on the exercise says the results were sobering, with one organizer saying it was jarring for participants to see how quickly just a few threats could spiral out of control. Join us now to talk about election year misinformation. Alex Stamos, a Sentinel One, a chief trust officer and a lecturer at Stanford University. He formerly ran online security operations at Facebook and Yahoo. And it's amazing, I guess, how innovative bad actors can get. Alex, have you put together some possible scenarios that you can scare us with on the type of things that could be done with deep fakes this time around? I was kind of joking about how the real thing on both sides of this, both candidates, the real thing looks like a deep fake half the time. You can't even believe what, I mean, that State of the Union or you know, an average Trump speech almost looks like the other side already, like, sort of fabricated what either candidate is saying. It's bad enough without deep fakes. How could it get worse?
Yeah, so you're pointing out kind of the obvious use of a deep fake would be to create a fake video, fake audio, fake image of one of the major presidential candidates doing something that isn't true. I think that's actually the least worrying option here. And I think that's one of the things that came out of the simulation that you mentioned and that NBC covered, was that there's a bunch of different ways you can use deepfakes that are much more subtle and a lot harder to push back against. You know, if there was a video of President Biden saying something he never said, you'd have the entire press corps looking into it, fact-checking it, and possibly telling people, oh, this is fake. But if something is distributed point to point, if it's only going out to a small number of individuals, if it's going out on group chats, if it's going out in phone calls or individual text messages, it's much less likely. And that's exactly what we saw in New Hampshire, where a deep fake of President Biden's voice called up voters and said, don't vote in the Democratic primary today. You need to save your vote for the fall, which is, you know, not just a use of deep fakes, but is actually illegal. That is against federal law. And there has been an investigation and the person responsible has been caught. That's what I'm more worried about, is those kinds of things, is that if you end up communicating to a small number of people and you convince them that there's violence at the polls, if you convince them that the polls are closed, if you tell them that, you know, if you vote today, your vote won't count, that could really affect maybe not the presidential race, but certainly local races, congressional races, situations in which people are winning by only a couple hundred or a couple thousand votes. And that's going to be much harder for the media to push back against.
I should not touch third rails, but I don't know. I touch them a lot. I'm still here, kind of.
Right.
But the third rail I would say here, Alex, is you describe the mainstream media making sure that Joe Biden didn't say something that a deep fake you know, purported him to be saying. I think they would. I think they would look for that. But the other day we saw a prime example of the mainstream media totally on board with promulgating a false narrative about what Trump was saying with the bloodbath in the auto industry. So you can't count on the mainstream media to treat both sides equally. So what does it matter if there's a deep fake? They don't treat real news objectively for the two different candidates.
So, I mean, I think you, sir, work for NBC Universal. So, you got your chance right here to treat both candidates fairly. From my perspective, I try not to
thank
get into
God
the politics
I'm here. Thank God I'm here, yeah. Alex. I feel a little lonely.
I think you've got some neighbors there in Midtown Manhattan who perhaps fill the airwaves on one side as well. But from my perspective, the real danger here is around the actual mechanisms of the election. We have had candidates in the media saying bad things about other candidates all the time. I mean, that is a long history in American history. But what is special now is that you could create something that looks like the president of the United States or your local secretary of state or a governor. Don't go vote. There's violence in the polls, so the polls are closed. And the other thing that I'm really worried about is tying that to actual cyber attacks against election infrastructure. The last couple of years, there's been a bunch of politically motivated attacks against the groups that have tried to protect the election from direct cyber attack. That has been effective in driving a lot of states out of these collaborations and reducing the amount of help the federal government gives local election officials on cyber. And our adversaries are not stopping. My colleagues at Sentinel One just wrote up a report on a new version of what's called the Acid Rain Wiper, which is a piece of malware that the Russians used in the first days of the Ukrainian invasion to knock out satellite terminals to attack the Viasat satellite system, not just in Ukraine, but actually across all of Europe. That's a kind of tool that could definitely be used against the systems that support elections. Maybe not the voting machines themselves. Fortunately, we've moved away from touchscreen voting in the vast majority of states, and I believe in all of the swing states. But there's all kinds of systems necessary to count the vote and to provide a quick response so that people trust the output. Disinformation showing one of these candidates saying that it's rigged or trying to convince people not to vote, combined with an attack that doesn't actually change the outcome, but means that you don't know for a couple of weeks because everything has to be hand voted. I think that could be incredibly disruptive.
Alex, let me just ask you, there was a warning put out yesterday, I think from the administration, saying that we need to be careful and watch out with the water supply. All water companies need to watch out for this.
Yeah.
You know about these cyber attacks. How big of a deal is that? Because stealing elections, one thing, not knowing if you can drink the water coming out of your tap is another.
Exactly what I was thinking.
Right. I mean, right now,
not to downplay stealing elections, but how big of a problem is this?
It's a huge issue. We see this actually from a number of American adversaries. This is a classic Russian thing. The Russian GRU has spent years building malware that specifically targets infrastructure. Again, the Acid Rain is one of those examples. But they've done this work called a tool called Black Energy, which was a tool that was used against Ukraine a couple of different times to knock the power out. Now, the Ukrainians have gotten very good at defending themselves because they've been fighting this since 2014. But for us in America, we haven't had kind of blackout after blackout due to Russian attacks. And I don't think we would do as well in that kind of attack. And the other problem is that the Chinese are now in this game. Over the last year, a number of companies, including ourselves, have written about finding Chinese backdoors planted in infrastructure systems that look like they specifically would support an American response in the Pacific. So places like Guam, Pearl Harbor, San Diego, those are the places that if something happened in Taiwan, American ships would be moving, Marines would be going into ports on rail, we'd be moving a massive amount of equipment to the West Coast to deliver into the Pacific. And it looks like the Chinese have built systems and backdoors specifically to try to disrupt that capability. And so, yes, it is. We have a risk here, both on the Russian side, because Russia is losing the war in Ukraine, and the best option they have for winning is to try to get America off of Ukraine's side, which they can try to do by creating political divisions. And then you've got the People's Republic of China, which is clearly looking towards disrupting America's ability to fight a war in the Pacific. And so between those two adversaries, I am worried about water, power, other critical infrastructure systems that are not getting the attention they need.
Alex, it's International Happiness Day. Good God.
Oh, gosh.
Yes, sir, that shall happen to stay.
Every party needs a pooper. That's why we invited you today.
Anytime, you know what? Let me know.
Okay, if you can't have, it's got to be vodka then. If you can't drink the water, I guess, right? How do you stay hydrated?
Bottled water.
There you go. Or we can boil it. Alex, thank you.
Coming up on Squawk Pod, Happy Happiness Day. Our resident expert in the topic is phoning it in from a sunny balcony in Lisbon. Where in the world is Arthur Brooks?
People ask me all the time, should I move to California because it's so nice and sunny? Will I be happier? I have the data on that. You'll be happier for 6 months, but the taxes are forever.
From pit lane to podium, the Las Vegas Grand Prix is providing fans a race day experience at the speed they deserve. With the help of T-Mobile for Business, our 5G advanced network solutions are powering race day operations with event-wide connectivity. From streamlined gate entry to an immersive app, giving fans blazing fast access to the sport they love. This is accelerating innovation. This is the Las Vegas Grand Prix with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Welcome back to Squawk Pod from CNBC. Here's Joe Kernan.
Today's International Happiness Day, and this special day wouldn't be the same without a quick dispatch from our Chief Happiness Officer. Joining us now, Arthur Brooks, AEI President Emeritus, and a Harvard professor. What is the normal salutation today, Arthur? Do I say happy, happy day? I mean, what do you say to someone today?
It's a good question. Happy Happiness Day, I suppose. But this has been designated as such by the United Nations. I did the World Happiness Summit yesterday in London, and it's a good excuse to talk about what we all want, I guess.
It's, we were joking around a little bit about, you know, how the U.S. fell out of the top 20. I've got my own reasons why. I mean, I don't think people realize how good we have it here, Arthur. I think a lot of us, not everyone, there are reasons to try to make this a better place, obviously. But there's a lot of spoiled, entitled people that maybe don't have to worry about getting up at 5 a.m. to go out and work the fields or something. Remember in the old days, you'd get done at 7 o'clock at night, and it'd be the greatest. You'd be so happy to have a warm meal and, you know, now, or, you know, oh, my God, my app's not working, or who knows why people aren't happy. As far as Finland, they're looking next door. They're like, wow, I'm glad I'm in Finland. Right. I mean, that's why they're happy, because they're not in Russia. Doesn't that explain it?
Well, you can't compare countries with each other. And, you know, they love to do that at the international level.
Stupid.
It gets great headlines. And it's a good opportunity to try to convince us all to be, you know, Nordic-style social democracies. But the truth is that we're different groups of people. You know, my grandparents left Denmark precisely because they didn't think it was very fun or exciting. And, you know, what Americans have in common is that happiness has everything to do with family life and adventure. It's not contentedness like you would find in other places. So no judgments about other cultures, but we can't compare each other. What we need to think about is how we can get happier as people and as a society, and what business leaders watching us right now can do to be happier as people.
Agreed.
And bring happiness along in their companies. Yep.
Too late. I've already judged. But, I mean, seriously, so you're going to move to Finland. You tell me you're not going to want to come back here. But I have a question for you. You lived in Barcelona, and I've been to the Amalfi Coast. I could see maybe where I might be. Were you happier in Barcelona than you were back here?
Yeah, because I fell in love and got married there, but it had nothing else to do with that. I mean, the truth of the matter is right now I'm joining you from the balcony of my hotel in Lisbon, where it's wonderful and sunny and warm. People ask me all the time, should I move to California because it's so nice and sunny? Will I be happier? I have the data on that, Joe. You'll be happier for 6 months, but the taxes are forever, so choose wisely.
Is it an egalitarian society? Does that mean everybody's happy? Because that's what I think of with the Nordic social net. The Euro social net GDP growth has lagged the United States by 40% for like 50 years. So they actually have 50% less than they would have if they had the same growth rate. Not that wealth or having that makes you happy, but I think these are the United Nations. Come up with this survey? Is that who did it?
Well, no, lots of organizations do that. Gallup does one. There are all kinds of groups that actually do that because it gets really good press for sure.
Right. Okay.
But the truth is, again, it's like you got to have your own standards. Everybody needs love, and then they need to live in a society and do what actually helps them to pursue their own happiness. That's what it comes down to. I have nothing against the Nordics. It's great. I just don't want to live there.
No.
I'm an American.
Thanks. Put me in put me in Detroit, the suburbs maybe, but. Arthur, the political backdrop right now isn't making anyone happy in this country. I don't think either. But these are 1%. These problems that we have seem like is this one manageable? That's part of it, isn't it? The acrimony and the two candidates.
Yeah, for sure. And the key thing for everybody watching us today, especially people who are getting ready to go to work in the States, is stop paying so much attention to politics. Turn off the activists in media. Turn off the activists inside your company who are making everybody miserable and focus on two things. Look, business in America has the opportunity to really make World Happiness Day come alive and to bring more happiness to America. And the way that we do that is having a merit-based system where people earn their success and helping everybody to see how they can serve other people, how their job actually makes a difference to others. Those are the secrets to happiness at work. Every CEO listening and watching us today, that's it. Go make people happy by lifting people up on the basis of their merit and give everybody the opportunity to serve others through their work, and you are going to be celebrating World Happiness Day the way that you're supposed to actually do it in America.
We're getting away from that, the dignity of work and merit. As far as why things happen, and we get further and further away from a lot of these things, Arthur. I told Becky, Arthur's been doing this for 5 years, and now we dropped out of the top 20. It's like, you got to ramp it up or something, or try a new. It's not your fault, obviously, but we're.
You have a heavy load to lift here.
It's like the Pete Peterson found.
Absolutely.
Pete Peterson, remember that? They were going to tackle our debt problems. We're at $34 trillion. hire somebody else. Arthur, I'm happy.
There's a lot that we can do, but you know what? Each of us has to put on our own oxygen mask first and serve others. Love others, get happier. That's it.
I don't want to put a mask on. That makes me unhappy. I'm never doing that again.
Oxygen mask when the
plane's oxygen going mask.
Down.
Okay.
On the airplane. Yeah.
Okay. All right. No masks.
You gotta make yourself happy so that you can help others. Is his point.
I'm happy.
Thank you, Becky. That's it.
You're welcome.
Happy Mr. Happy Day, Arthur.
You got it. See you soon.
That is Squawk Pod for today. Thanks for listening on this International Happiness Day, wherever you live.
Have you watched TV shows from Nordic countries on Netflix?
No.
Those people aren't happy.
Squawk Box is hosted by Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin. Tune in weekday mornings on CNBC at 6 Eastern and get the smartest takes and analysis from our TV show right into your ears when you follow Squawk Pod, wherever you get your podcasts. We'll meet you back here tomorrow.
We are clear. Thanks, guys.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.